Now entering Nerdist.com.
Okay.
This is sort of like, this should be episode zero.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Sounds good.
This is the reboot.
Are we already rolling?
Yeah.
I haven't even put on my podcast voice.
You do have a, oh my God.
Do I ever.
trying to turn, there I am. Okay. Who's the leader on this? Who's taking the lead?
I think we're co.
Yeah, we are co. It's Matt and Matt.
Well, when you are struggling, I will pick up the slack. And when I'm struggling,
this is amazing.
You got my back.
This is just the kind of teamwork that doesn't occur on the Nerdist.
Do you know what this is? It's James Bonding. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the episode zero of James
Of
James Bonding.
Think of this as our CBS Casino Royale.
Yes, we'll likely want to forget it one day.
Yeah, with Jimmy Bond.
Yeah, and
so for this episode, it's called Jimmy Bonding,
a career crashed Peter Lorre. Jimmy Bonding.
Jimmy Bonding with Matt and Matt.
So you're listening to the process of us figuring out what this podcast is going
to
be.
Yeah, here's what we decided to do, folks at home. We decided to do a James. We'll get into why we decided to do a James Bond podcast, but as far as how this is going to go. We have we've met, you know, previously and talked about like, oh, I want to do this, and there's some other stuff that we were talking about where I was like, well, maybe we should ask the audience kind of thing. So what we're gonna do right now is we're gonna sort of go through what this podcast is gonna be. You're gonna figure that out along with us, and we are very, very open to suggestions because this is a very new podcast. So what you're seeing today, the first day this is available, is you're gonna see episode zero. And you're going to see episode one with Paul F. Tompkins discussing Dr. No.
And I have to say I'm glad we've got Paul for this episode because I know you're a fan of Dr. No, but I watched it last night and it just, there's not a ton to talk about, I feel like.
Are you kidding?
I do.
Oh, wait till you see my notes.
Oh, my God.
Which I wrote at the very top of it. I wrote Dr. Notes.
Wow. why aren't we saving this for that episode?
We'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh.
We, Matt and I met actually on a television segment about James Bond.
That's right, for Attack of the Show. We were brought in as the panel experts. Well, you already worked for the show.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We were the, let's talk, we need to see people who can talk about James Bond at length. our mutual friend and a writer for the Attack of the Show, Josh Flaum.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh. Suggested, hey, Matt Gourley's really into James Bond as well, and he's super funny. And then I was like, he is super funny. I did not know he was really into James Bond.
Oh, man. And then this is the beginning of our bonding.
Yeah. This is the beginning of James Bonding.
And then we went on a date. We literally went on a Skyfall date.
Yeah, we sure did. On a rainy night in December.
And remember when we came out, we went to the IMAX version, and we came out, and It's Raining
it
Men.
It was the Weather Girls.
The Weather Girls had a
Christmas
you pointed
song.
Out, yeah, that no, you know. Never known that they had a second song.
I had no idea.
And it's playing on the CityWalk Jumbotron.
Oh, so.
And we just stood in the rain watching it.
Yeah, it's a highly recommended YouTube watch if you can find it. I don't even know what it's called. It's Raining Christmas.
It's raining snow or it's raining presents.
Yeah, so it's the Weather Girls. It's Raining Men, the Paul Schaefer classic. It is the Christmas version of that. It's got a very funny music video. And I highly recommend
it. But imagine it, like, supersize it on your screen, step back, imagine it drizzling on you. It's a nice winter's eve.
Think of it as a John Cusack movie.
Yeah.
You know, we're outside in the rain. We're just standing in the rain, letting God just wash over us as we watch The Weather Girls.
Yeah, we had just come out of Skyfall.
After we had seen.
It was a great first date.
Yeah, in IMAX. I hope everyone listening got to see Skyfall in IMAX because it really didn't change it that much.
I don't even know that I noticed it.
Yeah, I didn't either. But it was good to see, you know, a 40-story tall. That might be way over the size that the IMAX screen is. It's not 40 stories.
No,
are you sure?
It's 39.
I feel like we go in there.
Tops.
But the Daniel Craig. Anyway, it was lovely. So that our love of James Bond continued through. Brief trysts over text message, you know.
Like when Skyfall came out on Blu-ray, I got that archive book for Christmas.
Yep. I also got the archive book for myself for Christmas. Uh-huh. And, you know, every time a little James Bond something would happen in the ethos, Matt and I were sure to connect on it.
Because you don't find it. You don't got a lot of that.
Yeah.
This, you know, it gets better, I hope.
Yeah.
But you don't. I can only talk to my girlfriend so much about it.
Exactly.
And it's not a fault on her.
Right.
I understand.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bother people with this.
Right. I don't. People don't need to know that I'm also nerdy about this 19th thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I have enough.
This is my main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is your main? This is it for you.
Well, I mean, I probably have some minor nerd things. But
so
this,
you major in
really
James Bond
is,
and yeah. you minor in?
I don't know. Maybe I don't. There must be something.
Well, you're an improv nerd. Let's say that. Let's just get out there with that.
I mean, is it just if you enjoy doing it? I don't call
you enjoy
myself
doing
like
it. Yeah, yeah. But you enjoy doing it. You understand the history of it.
Sure.
Right? You appreciate when people do it well.
But I don't seek out more of it all the time. I don't go to shows.
That's
you know?
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like doing it, but I don't know that the world... I don't live and breathe the world.
Does anyone seek out improv? Or does
I
it just
do.
Happen at them?
I think some people do. I don't know. That's a good point.
I mean, improv's something, as we know from the internet, you can do everywhere.
I know what I'm a nerd for.
What?
Inside Nature's Giants on PBS, where they dissect giraffes and whales, and I just cannot get enough
I have
of
never
it.
Heard of this.
Oh,
it sounds like
it.
The second best thing in the world after James Bond.
You're exactly right.
Oh, my God.
I just gave you a 20th thing.
We have a new show.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's unbelievable.
It's called Dissecting Dissections with Matt and Matt. Premieres on the
right
Nerdist Network.
Right after this.
It's a pretty good name, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what sort of happened was Matt... I think maybe a Twitter suggestion that said we should do a podcast about it.
Me?
I feel like...
Did I?
No, I don't think it was you.
No,
I just think
I
it was somebody it... else saw us talking back and forth
yeah,
about James
maybe,
Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's sort of how we arrived at the conclusion to do it.
Yeah.
Although I think I texted you
I think
we need to
happening.
Do a podcast. Uh-huh. And it might have been because someone said it or... I just felt like I needed
you
a
You were the
third
man
podcast.
In this relationship.
Yeah.
Like, traditionally.
I was like,
yeah,
get over here.
I sat by my phone. And
but I was a modern man because I did not care which of us was the breadwinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
I had the idea over... I think it might have been over Christmas, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It took a while for us to actually finally say, let's just do it.
And
I don't know what clicked in my brain... where I said, let's just do it.
I can tell you it's when you sent the next text message that with that name. And I thought, well, that's now I see it. Now,
James Bonding?
Yeah, now I can envision it.
We were named by Doug Benson. That's a fun little trivia fact for everybody.
Hats off to him.
Doug is very good at naming things. So here we are. It's called James Bonding with Matt and Matt. And I think it's just a mutual sort of love of James Bond. And I think it's fair to discuss... in this episode zero, sort of how we both came to find James Bond to be maybe the paternal role model we never had growing up. I don't know.
Hmm. Is that
the man's man?
Yeah. I also want to say that the thing I think that the reason I love James Bond so much is that I can be so into it and all the minutiae and everything, but at the same time, realize that so much of it is so bad and enjoy it on so many levels.
That is very true.
I just love being able to put in any given James Bond movie and it's really good or it's really bad.
Yeah.
And
I think all of them have good moments.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And I also would argue that all of them have laughably bad moments.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Casino Royale.
Yeah, I agree.
We're all thinking about that right now.
Yeah, I know.
Think about that at home.
So our origins with James Bond, huh?
Yeah, so let's see. Matt's a little bit older than I am, almost exactly 10 years older than I am.
Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, right?
Happy
coming
birthday
up?
Monday.
Oh.
Party on Sunday.
Happy birthday. This probably won't be out
by the time my birthday is.
Yeah.
So by the time you listen to this, I'll be 30, Matt will be 40, Katie
am.
Will be 12.
Yeah. This is a strange room.
Yeah,
it's a strange
don't worry
room.
About it. So, yeah, I know you're already 40, but by the time you listen to it, that will still be true.
I will still already be 40.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
Well, at some point, we're going to have to talk about my 40th birthday party. Do you know about this?
I was invited to your 40th birthday party, and I believe I was out of town and could not go to your 40th
birthday
party. Boy,
you of all people missed the best party in the world.
What was your
My 40th? Girlfriend threw me a surprise 40th birthday. I woke up And she said, go into the office. I go in and there's a tux hanging and a card that just says a car will pick you up at 7:45 p.m. and a little bottle of scotch. And this tux was like this Vera Wang tux that fit me like a glove. She sized it off one of my suits or something.
Sure,
it was amazing. I show up to this space she had rented. I mean, this is how nerdy it gets that my girlfriend knew that I would love this kind of thing. But
already amazing sounding.
Yeah, she had put together a huge surprise James Bond birthday party where all my friends and family came dressed as James Bond characters or just cocktail attire. So if you didn't want to nerd out, you didn't have to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it was only James Bond music playing, but there was a bartender serving Vesper martinis. She was dressed as Jill Masterson from Goldfinger in a gold bodysuit painted gold.
Oh my God.
Mark McConville, who's bald, shows up with a gray neighbor jacket and a white cat. Amanda, my girlfriend's sister, was Mr. Kid, but the cruise ship she made the bomb, La Bomb surprise. This is how nerdy this is going to get.
Mr. Kid from Diamonds Are Forever.
There was a Jaws. Rob Schraub and Kate Freund were Mr. Wint and Mr. Kid. They came in the suits. Dan Harmon was like a kind of like Largo with an eye patch.
He just wore an eye patch,
sure. There were a few money pennies.
Oh my goodness.
We'll talk about this with Padgett Brewster, who's going to be a guest down the road, she was stopped. Maybe we should talk about this with Paul as well. She was going to go as May Day in blackface. And I need to pick. I have a bone to pick with Paul about stopping her doing that.
What is it? That is. I see both sides of this coin.
I do.
I see both sides.
Anyway, it was an unbelievable surprise, and I was blown away. And
that is very impressive.
If you gotta turn 40,
that's the way to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're me or Matt.
Yeah. When you have turned 50 and we're at my 40th birthday party, don't be surprised if I copy you.
Please. Please, just you'll be dating my girlfriend at that point?
Well, no, parts of it will be different.
Okay.
That's one of the parts that will be different, theoretically.
I'm open to
Actually, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen.
All right. Who does? Anyway, tell us how your bond started.
My James Bonding sort of started for me. I was born in the year of Octopussy.
That's the first one I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
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 Wow, this is really...
So that'll put you in this... Right? So here we go. I was born in the year of Octopussy. I had no longer will we dispense with the Gregorian calendar.
Or the Chinese year of the rat.
It is gone.
Yeah.
Now
I'm year of the live and let die.
And if there is no James Bond movie, you are plus one live and let die. This is how it will be. This is how the calendar shall be.
We are plus one Skyfall.
Yes.
Minus two.
Yeah.
Mystery. Probably. Yeah. It's Cylinder Fuck.
Oh, that's not a bad name.
It's gonna be.
Do you think we can petition the Broccolis to get the to name the next one? I probably not.
No.
It's probably not gonna happen.
Although
they're very protective.
Yeah.
Cylinder
Fuck.
Just as a kid, so View to a Kill comes out in the year of View to a Kill, also known as 1985, and this is sort of where it starts for me. Just I had two older sisters, so I have a sister who's 42 and a sister who's 38 now. So they were older than me and also had access to renting videos and VHSs and stuff like that, and they were big Anglophiles at the time.
Ooh.
So one thing they watched a lot was Remington Steele.
Whoa.
And James Bond movies. Namely A View to a Kill because of the Duran Duran song. Mm. And when it eventually came out, the Living Daylights with Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was sort of their music. That was their guy. There, James Bond. So I sort of started watching it then, and it was only after an interview on Oprah with Tom Hanks. Get ready for this, where he was asked to describe his perfect afternoon, or sort of Sunday, or I forget what it was. That's the cliche: describe your perfect Sunday, you know. But it was Oprah, and I believe this was an interview he was doing. I feel like for Philadelphia. Maybe it was Philadelphia. So it was like 90s, mid, early 90s. And he said that his idea of the perfect day would be sitting on a couch, giant glass of root beer, and an old James Bond movie on the television.
Well, we've got to get him on here.
Yes, right.
Tweet at Tom Hanks and get him on here.
I'll see what I can do.
Let's just everyone. Yeah.
If you can, just, you know, we'll figure it out eventually what the hashtag will be for that.
Yeah.
Hanks on Bond. Hanks on Bond works, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, someone's going to think that's for him to play the villain. But anyway, when Tom Hanks said this, and at the time, no one in the country was more influential.
That's true.
Than Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Clinton? No. Mm-mm. No. Tom Hanks?
But a Bond fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, also a Bond fan. But so this me seeing Tom Hanks say that, my brain went, oh, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I can drink root beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of age to drink root beer and sit on a chair. And then I immediately went to the store. It was a Blockbuster video at the time. And got myself a copy of Goldfinger. Goldfinger and... Was it Moonraker? It was probably Moonraker. Uh-huh. And those were the two that I sort of went, wow, this is kind of great. And then I just went back, absorbed the entire catalog. Matt Gourley, what is your James Bonding?
Well, I'm fascinated because I think most people's are similar to mine in that you get it from your father.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's interesting to hear that you got it from your sister.
I did, yeah.
I got a lot of grief from my sister.
Oh, really?
But she was a huge Duran Duran fan, and it's one thing that we could cross over on was View to a Kill. So my dad and I used to watch Bond movies. I remember sitting in his lap. I don't know which one was my first. That's how early we would watch them. Whenever they were on ABC,
like
Sunday nights or something like that. But the first one I saw, he took me to in the theater, was Octopussy, and I just loved it. The Year You Were Born, the year of Octopussy. But when View to a Kill came out that summer, that was the summer I would have been 12.
Right.
So it was kind of like your parents could drop you off for the movies with some friends. And that's when I dug in, and I still love that movie. Most people hate that movie.
Oh, I enjoy it. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is. The score is so good, and Christopher Walken and Grace Jones, and anyway, that's...
And they clearly aged Roger Moore, but to the point where it still works. It just still worked for him.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
He's 57 in that movie, right?
Yeah.
And he's... Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to it.
But so I watched them a lot as a kid, and then when I would go over to my dad's, and he was remarried, and my stepbrother and I were really close. We got along really well, and we would go, you know, rent a horror movie. But most weekends, we'd get like three movies. One of them would usually be a Bond movie because my dad loved the skiing scenes, and he could never remember which. So I kind of cataloged to help him remember, you know, For Your Eyes Only. And
it was probably not The World Is Not Enough.
No, because that was not even out. And then... When I got to college was when the Brosnan one came out, and it didn't work for me.
You, huh?
And so I stepped away. I'm sorry to say I stepped away for a while.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. And then, Lord.
That's probably Pierce Brosnan. he is livid.
Well, tell him to come on. We'll discuss it on the show. I like him as a man.
He's also paddleboarding in Malibu right now. That's what he does.
I believe
that's what he does with his life.
I completely believe it. Poor guy.
So what brought you back to it after college?
In 2004 or 5, I went through this really bad breakup, and I did this weird thing where I just said, you know, I'm going to take a month off of all work.
Beautiful.
I went every day to this little Irish pub. I lived by the beach, and I drank a Guinness and had a corned beef sandwich and a deep-fried Snickers bar. I just was going to, like, not care about anything.
You lived the American dream.
I did. I would read, like, a Fleming Bond novel. I'd never read them before. I'd do a crossword puzzle. And then my goal was to go home each night and read every Shakespeare play. But that, like, within a week, that turned into watching every James Bond.
Right.
Because the Fleming books were so good.
Yeah.
And so I started watching them all again. And this was before they were re-released on DVD, and they were hard to find, so I had to kind of rent video cassettes Blockbuster at like 2005. Mm-hmm. It was difficult. I couldn't get them all. And that's when I kind of got back into them. And then I'm happy to say when they announced Daniel Craig is for Casino Royale, I was really excited about it. I thought it's time to get away from the kind of Brosnan pretty boy thing.
Really?
Yeah, I was one of the few people that was, because I'd seen him in Munich, and I thought, this is great. He's like Steve McQueen. This is great.
I had wanted one more Brosnan.
Yeah.
I had wanted sort of Pierce to sort of get some sort of semblance of a send-off.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, it was 9, 9 years he was James Bond. Only 4 movies came out of that 9 years. So it was like...
He had it rough.
I just really... Although I feel like Daniel Craig's going to fucking take forever to get these 5 out.
Yeah, the way it's going. Yeah, but it really if that means we get better movies, that's fine with me.
Oh, is that fine with you? Because it's not fine with me.
Oh, well.
Because something I like about James Bond movies is how bad they can be.
That's true.
Which is part
New bad isn't as fun as old bad, though.
Yeah, that's true. New bad is offensive. Because Die Another Day has been playing on Stars or something like a lot lately. And I can't, I don't even stay on it.
That one I can do because I think of the Brosnan, it's probably, you know, the cheesiest of them all. So I can at least get into that.
It is by far the most wink, wink, nudge, nudge of the bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean that because Eric Idle wrote it. No, I'm just kidding.
Casino Royale comes out. I loved it. And then I was back.
You're back. That's it. Back on board. Yeah. Did you at that point revisit the... Brosnan's, or were you just like,
yeah, because I got that ultimate DVD collection and did a thing where I'd have all my friends over once a week under the guise of I'll make the cocktail featured in the movie that night and we'll have drinks and watch the Bond movie, but it turned out to be this great social event, and so we took
a lot of those nights,
1 week or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of those nights though, you were just making vodka on ice.
I tried, you can find something different in every one of them. We only did one martini.
Oh, yes. Well, didn't Roger Moore make it a point not to drink martinis?
Yeah, so none of his had that. But there was always some... There was some website that...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there still is.
...tallied all those
things. Plenty of websites.
Yeah.
So Matt and I love James Bond so much, we thought, hey, let's put this together into a podcast and sort of catalog it. And what I kind of like about this, the idea of this podcast, is that it does sort of have a finite...
Mm-hmm.
number of episodes,
at least for whatever first run we'll do. Yeah,
and I kind of for me, and I hope maybe for you too, because with Super Ego you guys do podcast and then you kind of take some time off because it's so strenuous to sort of just get that material out. For you guys particularly, because yours is much tighter than say a Nerdist or general podcast where you just sit and sort of rip. And this gave Matt the opportunity to come in and do a podcast like that.
Oh, it's so nice.
Where he literally just shows up with a notebook.
Yeah.
Katie gets to be our producer and handle everything over here. Look at how excited he is.
You're our Miss Moneypenny.
You are. Oh, Katie's our Moneypenny.
Yeah.
Katie Moneypenny.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
This is, so... and this just sort of, I think that's what I like about it, is that there is sort of a light at the end of the tunnel, and because sometimes when you sign up for something, you're like, oh God, will this end?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But this will end.
Will end, yeah.
For at least until
whatever,
when the new one comes out or we want to revisit them.
Yeah.
Or
if someone's like, I have a take on A View to a Kill you haven't heard before.
I'm ready. Bring it on.
We're ready for that.
I'm excited.
Now we're sort of at the point where, so here's the deal. We're going to do this podcast. And what we're going to do is we're going to have on a guest, possibly two. I feel like because we have friends that may like the same.
Yeah.
Because I know Hardwick really likes View to a Kill.
Oh, okay.
And I know Padgett wants to.
Yeah, well, there's no reason we can't make it a cocktail party. Yeah,
why not? We'll just do that.
Yeah.
Well, he's a recovered alcoholic.
Oh, so there is a reason.
One reason.
We can't make it a cocktail party.
But other than that.
All right.
Yeah, I think that occasionally we should just open up and be like, yes, of course, love to. So what we'll do is Matt and I will discuss the James Bond franchise one movie at a time with some of our funny friends, sometimes some of our friends that are much smarter than us, and sometimes some of our friends that might even be a little crazier about James Bond than we are, although I don't know that we have any. I don't know your face. If you could see his face, you would know
there is
how
no
funny
one.
It was. So here it is. So this is James Bonding, and what we're going to do is go through each movie, but Matt and I were curious to see what maybe you guys thought about the order in which we're doing them. So there is the school of thought that says, do Dr. No, then do From Russia with Love, then do Goldfinger. But... I had an idea.
Yeah.
And I ran this by Matt, and he seems okay with it.
At first, I wasn't sure. Now, I'm pretty on board with this.
Because after you watch Dr. No, you're like, ooh, it's going to be a long haul.
Yeah, I didn't want to go into From Russia with Love. I wanted something different.
Right. Yeah. So what we're going to do, we think, I say we're going to ask you, but we're probably going to do it without you telling us what to do.
Because we'll probably have it done by the time this is out,
right? Yeah, by the time we'll probably have already done it.
Just imagine you're talking to us and we're
taking just imagine we're listening to you, we understand, but we've already arrived at a conclusion.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is, instead of going Dr. No from Rush with Love, what we're going to do is sort of take it from both sides and sort of meet in the middle. So we're going to go Dr. No, Skyfall. From Russia with Love, Quantum of Solace.
Have you done the math? What do we end up at?
I feel like we end up at like Moonraker. I feel like it ends up at...
Even For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wish Katie was doing that
let's
math
take
for us
it.
Right now.
So,
okay.
I'll do the fronts, you do the backs.
Gotcha.
Dr. No.
Skyfall.
From Russia with Love.
Quantum of Solace.
Goldfinger.
Casino Royale.
Thunderball.
Die Another Day.
You Only Live Twice.
The World Is Not Enough.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Diamonds Are Forever.
GoldenEye.
Live and Let Die.
License to Kill.
The Man with the Golden Gun.
Correct.
Sorry.
Man with the Golden Gun, then it would go The Living Daylights.
Spy Who Loved Me.
View to a Kill.
Moonraker.
Octopussy.
For Your Eyes Only.
For Your Eyes Only, right in the middle.
Yeah, we're going to end on a lot of Roger Moores, a whole handful of Roger Moores, but
it was going to be that either way. There was going to be a handful of there was going to be a period of time where we were only talking about Roger Moore,
right.
And that's just going to be either way.
Never mind ending on the Roger Moores.
I have a secret for the internet. He might be my favorite James Bond.
He's up there for me, too.
He really might be my favorite. Yeah. Roger Moore is so fucking charming.
He really is. He really
I
is.
I said our first swear, I'm sorry.
No, I said cylinder fuck.
Oh, there you go. Which should be the next name.
Yeah, well, hashtag that first hashtag that to Tom Hanks.
Dear Michael G. Wilson and Barbara Broccoli, please consider cylinder fuck as your title for the next James Bond installment. I've already discussed it with Sam Mendes. Or a homeless man who calls himself Sam Mendes.
Sam Mendes.
Well, Mendes. How does he say it?
I don't know.
It's British, however he says it is correct.
Yeah.
That's how I always go, if there's a word I don't know how to say, and a British person says it around me, I'm like, well, that's got to be
there
it.
First.
That has to be the way to say it. Unless
it's a like American colloquialism that was invented here. Or
right,
like
right.
If they were to say Disneyland.
Ooh.
Then you'd say, no, it's Disneyland.
I would also say, why Nigel. Do you sound Dutch?
Well, he's Dutch in English. His name's Nigel Holdquist.
Oh, yeah. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
Sounds like he might be a Bond villain in For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah, I work in plastics. let's talk segments.
All right, here we go. We're going to break down what we think maybe some segments should be. Also, again, we are always open to evolving and changing, just like the James Bond franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Let's talk segments.
Okay. You had a good idea about the villains.
Yeah, I had an idea in a segment that we would like to call. Also, for the record, we are open to jingles.
Sure.
So if anyone wants to write a jingle for us, we will tell you the name of a segment, and you can please send that on over.
And I don't want to tell you how to do your business, but when you think, like, don't think radio jingle. Think Bond song, John Barry, a lot of E minor 7 suspended chords
just
in
let
there.
It, just let it ring out.
Reverb.
Just let it ring
Vic
out.
Vic flick it in and just,
Vic flick. Oh my goodness. It's a deep cut, everybody.
Yeah.
That guitar is for sale. Did you know that?
No, how
the
much?
The guitar that the James Bond theme was played on.
And it's an acoustic guitar. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. And it's I saw the like,
can we pool our
the
money?
Auction estimate was a few hundred thousand, like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
If I was a wealthy person.
Yeah. Is that something you would want?
If I had money to burn, that there are worse things to buy.
Okay, now here's my question to you. We're going to diverge a little bit, and this is just sort of how the podcast is going to be.
Yeah.
Also James Bond related. If I sent to you a picture that I took from the Comic-Con floor, Profiles in History, which is an auction company. They did that show Hollywood Treasures. They had in their case, going up for auction in August, is going to be the Walther that James Bond uses, Sean Connery uses in the publicity photos for James Bond. So when you see James Bond in the silhouette, and he's got the long-barreled Walther, something he never actually shoots in the movies.
Yeah, or is ever uses in the movies. Right,
correct. But whenever you see the James Bond silhouette, it's always that long.
Is it a Walther? It's not a Ruger.
No, that's a Walther.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a Walther with the longer barrel. If we're wrong, gun freaks, please write to us.
I don't know. I mean, I can't believe I said that.
We would like our own Boothroyd to write to us.
If I worried that my girlfriend would listen to this, I'd worried she'd leave me. But there's no way.
So would you rather have that gun, the famous gun from... all those publicity photos we grew up on.
No, I'd take the guitar.
You take the guitar.
I'd take the original Walther from the movies first.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
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 Have you ever fired a Walther? Let me ask you this.
I've fired a replica Walther.
Replica Walther, like blanks.
Like it's a type of like kit gun they used to make in the '80s that are made of durable plastic, but they're exact replicas. Yeah. And they fire these blanks. Yeah.
Have you a fun segment we could do? I think would be to go to the LA Gun Club because they have the Walther P99. Which is
the Brosnan gun,
and they have the Walther PPK.
Let's do it. Can we do a mobile recording of that?
Yeah, sure. We could. Yeah,
oh
we might even.
God.
Maybe that's a thing we film for the channel, the Nerdist channel.
That's right. You guys have all these resources.
Yeah, we have something that Super Ego does not, which is resources. But you guys have something we don't, which is quality.
Well, let's meet in the middle.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. And make something real meaty. Okay.
I will warn you, though, that the Walther P99 is maybe my least favorite gun I've ever fired.
Why?
And
I love that you have a least favorite.
I do. It's weird.
But you know what's sad? I know my guns, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the Walther, the trigger is never fires at sort of the same point.
Hmm.
The trigger's awful on it.
Just so, the P99 or the...
The P99. The PPK is great. It's a delightful gun. But the Walther P99, if you're wondering, you pull the trigger. Sometimes you have to pull it really far. Sometimes not so much. You never know when it's going to fire. And I'm surprised there aren't more accidental deaths from that gun.
I swore I wouldn't bring this up. But since you've brought this up, have you noticed in Dr. No that he has to trade in his Beretta to get the PPK?
Yeah.
But when he shoots Dent...
Yeah.
He's using a silencer, and apparently PPKs don't take silencers or something, but he's got a little Belgian gun that looks just like a PPK.
Oh, really?
PPK.
I had no idea that was the case.
This is why you guys tuned in.
Is that
right?
in the archives? Is that in the James Bond archives?
No,
or is
this
that just...
something I noticed only because when I was young, I used to get these little kit replicas, and that gun was one of them. You could get either one. But if you look at it, you can tell the difference.
Oh, wow.
It's got a little...
but Boothroyd comes in and says it takes a barrage silencer with very little muscle velocity, loss of muscle.
Look, maybe they really
muscle velocity, sorry.
I don't know.
This is what you're in for, everybody.
Yeah.
Minutia upon minutia.
Oh, fine.
The James Bond style.
Fine tooths. Microscope. Microscopic mediocrity.
If you think it's too small for us to notice... You're wrong.
If you think it's too small for us to notice, we noticed you think that.
You know the Hubble?
Fuck that.
Ours is better.
We've got some kind of diamond satellite. Excuse me, diamond.
Oh, that was delightful. Yeah, back to what we were talking about. We got on this point by me discussing the original category or the original segment.
Mm.
So please, yes, send us in a jingle. Here's the segment I'd like to do. How could the villain have succeeded?
Mm-hmm.
As I've noticed watching these movies over the years, there's always one or two things differently that could have been done. And the plan would have gone off without a hitch. Whether it's actually cutting him in half with that laser or just maybe not bothering with him.
Yeah.
That is how. So we're going to look at each movie. We'll come up with for instance, it'll be Dr. No coming up, you'll hear. We'll go through Dr. No's plan. We'll go through how his plan failed. And then we'll go through how his plan could have succeeded.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And it, you kind of gave me an idea, and that's something similar. And that's, when does the Bond girl turn from strong, independent, just good match for Bond to just jelly-legged, follow him anywhere? There's always a point in the movie where they just turn from character to cipher. And they just, and it's
what
always disappointing. Bond girl to bimbo
Shit, what do we call that? We call that,
You tell us.
Yeah, tell us what you think that segment should be called.
Katie?
Independent woman to dependent.
Or maybe it's like good, like
woman.
Good head to Vesper. Like, what are the two extremes there? Like,
oh yeah,
who's the most like shallow one? Is it Tracy Sutton from View to a Kill? Or who's the? Or
no. It's Jane Seymour from Live and Let Die.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So because
all she had to go on
from
was
Vesper to Solitaire,
was fake psychic ability.
And then,
So you're saying that Vesper is the one who can take care of herself the whole time?
It's not that they can take care of themselves. It's just that
they remain independent from his.
Or they're just real women. That they're, you know, she had flaws, but she was a person. She was a well-developed character.
Yeah.
But like the best example is probably Pussy Galore. She's really strong, independent woman, and then she goes to just sap. She turns.
Yes.
She just gives over to him just the minute he makes love to her. Or
that is an interesting turn.
More appropriately, date rapes her.
Yeah. But I think that one takes a little longer than most of them do.
Yeah.
As far as like screen time is concerned and like activities that are happening. Mm-hmm. So this is a segment we're going to figure out. I think we both have an answer already for Dr. No, but listen for the next episode, and we will break that down without a name.
Mm-hmm.
Also, looking for a jingle. If you can write it into the jingle, then great.
Sure.
Another thing that I was doing was counting the number of times the James Bond theme is cued. And then writing down the reason for the cue.
Because in Dr. No, it's usually just walking through a hotel.
It's literally, I'm going to check my messages. it gets ridiculous. And then you go towards the later movies where it's used much, much, much more sparingly.
Yeah.
Like, which I think that might be just a part of whoever they get to score the movie kind of doesn't want to rely on the crutch.
Right.
Of and that then, theme.
And then John Barry had his own little that he kept using.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that too.
Someone on Twitter, I'll have to look it up
because
it was a great suggestion, said the difference between the Fleming novel and the film.
Oh, okay.
When that applies.
Sure.
Pretty good.
I like that.
Because early on, they're not huge. And then...
Yeah, they do take quite a run away from each
only,
other.
Which will be Bond 26.
Ooh, we already named two more.
Cocktails, we could talk about the cocktails.
Yeah, we could talk about the cocktails.
Because like Goldfinger, they feature... Kentucky bourbon.
Oh, the mint julep.
Yes, God.
Yes.
What?
Correct. Yes, we can do that. I'd also like to, at some point, discuss my favorite James Bond suit in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a real nice recurring segment for everybody.
I got to start paying attention to these
You
details.
Do. You got to look at them.
Yeah. Roger Moore has some suits.
Yeah, he does. He was... I think, even though Roger Moore's suits sometimes look ridiculous, the biggest victim to their time is George Lazenby. The biggest fashion victim... Mm. The biggest fashion victim of the era in which their movie was released is George Lazenby.
Is it because of the ruffle shirt kilt one? Or?
Yep. It is because of that. It is because of his sideburn situation. It is also because of... Because you immediately... What's Diamonds Are Forever is what, 2 years later or a year later maybe?
I'm not sure. Secret Service is 69 and Diamonds Forever is 71.
So 2 years later, you would think you'd see some sort of repeats in horrible faux pas of clothing. What I like about James Bond is he rarely looks out of time.
Yeah, they do a pretty decent job.
Yeah. Like, he's always like, although, you know, maybe I'm completely wrong on this, because thinking back to sort of like, if you look at some of the suits that Pierce Brosnan is wearing, the lapels are a little bigger, so on and so forth, you're sort of knowing, you know who's going to know a lot about this?
Paul F. Tompkins,
who's our first guest.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have to, someone should write down, let's talk to Paul about suits.
I think I honestly already have that.
Great.
Because we were talking about, we watched Dr. No.
Yeah.
And he has some strange cuffs.
Oh, I noticed those too, in the phone booth. That's where I noticed
butterfly
those.
Butterfly cuffs, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not a French cuff.
Mm-mm.
It's like a French cuff if it imploded.
Is it? Is a papillon cuff? Papillon. Le cuff de papillon.
Papillon. Oh. Oh. I just came back from Montreal, so that really flowed. Oh, no problem.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I didn't question.
So that's the thing. And then we're sort of actually just going to sort of break down the movie as it goes along.
I'm learning from this inaugural episode that we're not going to have any problem talking about these things.
Yeah, really.
Segments may even get in the way.
Yeah, this sort of has turned into Matt and I discussing we can talk at length about nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something as important as James Bond.
I think it's just really important that you guys just sit tight.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've finished listening, I'm wrapping this up, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know that, right? That's the flow I'm feeling. Just sort of sit back and enjoy the ride with us. And we're going to do episode one is out available today. And episode two will be out shortly thereafter. You know, I think at most we would do this 2 weeks apart from each other, right?
At most.
At most 2 weeks.
Yeah, because we'll probably stack up a few before we release.
Yeah. So just you got a lot to look forward to. A lot of fun.
Also, there are the like obvious segments of let's discuss opening titles, the score, gadgets, girls, henchmen. Yeah.
We're gonna hit everything you want us to hit. And if we don't hit it, you tell us to hit it.
Yeah.
At James Bonding Pod.
Mm-hmm.
Also bondjamesbonding@gmail.com.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
That is our official email address. bondjamesbonding@gmail.com.
We tried to get that for Twitter, but it was one character too long, and we missed us at that for at least 15 minutes, not even thinking of another one.
We just
mourning that we couldn't do that. we were so bummed.
We tried it 3 or 4 times on both phones. We thought, for some reason, maybe it's our phone that is doing this. Let's try a different phone.
Since when do you have to count the @s?
Yeah, I didn't care for that one bit.
Yeah.
Twitter, if you're listening, just give us one more character. I'm sure that would throw all of your coding off, but listen. Okay, so we're going to do Dr. No this week with Paul F. Tompkins. Very kind of him to join us, and we're going to break it down. So please, by all means, stop this episode right now. After we're done, go ahead and watch Dr. No, and then enjoy us talking about it.
Yeah, we're here for you. This is for you, for the world, and for the children.
Yeah, and we're going to do a segment where we read emails and call it For Our Eyes Only. I just made that up.
We could have called this For Your Ears Only.
Don't talk about it. We're happy with James Bonding.
I bet that's been done.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah,
I'm sure it has. Yeah, so thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Matt says thank you too.
Thank you. Yeah. See you in just a little bit.
We'll just turn this off and turn on another one. It's no problem. You're just talking about it. We just talk about James Bond on the next one.
We'll say goodbye and then you whisper, please don't go. And then we'll be back in the next one.
Please don't leave. Oh, we haven't left you. There's a whole nother episode.
I'm in your ears.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.